Before we hit the ground by Salali Fiamania. Table of Contents. The 2019 Frame. Mourning and Departure Part 1. Roots in Accra and the Early Years in Glasgow, 1986-1990, Part 2. The Burden of Care and Growing Rebellion, 1998-2007, Part 3. Exploration and Isolation in London, 2008-2015, Part 4. Coming Out and the Breakdown of Silence, 2015-2016, Part 5. Return to Ghana and Professional Strain, 2017-2018, Part 6. The Ochre Wall and the Final Swim, August-October 2018. Conclusion. The 2019 Aftermath. The 2019 Frame. Mourning and Departure. The narrative of begins in March 2019 in Glasgow, with Abina and Kodza packing up their family home, a process laden with the heavy silence of grief following the death of their son, Elam. As they clean, every item revealed a burn on a counter, a grubby photograph of a 6-year-old Elam in a Batman outfit triggers a surge of memory and sadness. Elam had moved back into the family home less than a year prior, just as his parents retired to a cottage in the countryside, and he had painted the living room a vibrant ochre to bring some sun inside. His funeral has passed, but the minister's words about him being laid to rest provide no comfort to the family. Elam lies under the soil, trapped with the demons that troubled him, while Abina, Kodzo, and their daughter Jafar left with unanswered questions. Jifa, working in a hectic London hospital, remains physically distant but emotionally connected through video calls, reminding her parents not to throw out her old belongings. Amidst their mourning, the family discusses a planned trip to Ghana, which had been Elam's final wish for them. Kodzo is initially reluctant to go, feeling that his son's grave is his only root in Scottish soil, saying, "I walk to his grave every day. I can't leave him." However, Abina feels stranded and stuck in a country that is not her village, desiring to return to her people and her language after decades of planting seeds instead of roots. She ultimately decides to go to Ghana with Jifa, intending never to return, while Kodzo stays behind, gifting her a bag of Scottish soil to keep her from being blinded by that red earth over there. Part 1. Roots in Accra and the Early Years in Glasgow, 1986-1990. The story flashes back to April 1986 in Accra, where a 24-year-old Abine meets Kodzo. Kodzo is visiting from the UK, where he is studying nursing in Glasgow, and is staying with a relative named Ernest in Abina's family compound. Abina, who teaches at a catering school, is initially irritated by having to perform domestic chores for the visiting, educated man, at her Aunt Esther's behest. However, as she cooks breakfast for him over the course of a week, they begin to talk, sharing stories of their childhoods and ambitions. Despite her cynicism regarding men who return from abroad only to leave their local lovers behind, Abina finds herself drawn to Kodzo's kindness and the fact that he listens as much as he speaks. On the morning she is set to leave for a training trip to Kumasi, Kodzo takes her hand and asks her to marry him. After thinking it over, she chooses the safety and possibility he offers over the control of her overbearing Aunt Esther. By April 1989, the couple is settled in a wet and cold Glasgow. Abina struggles with the isolation of the new country, where her days are defined by household chores and the expansion and contraction of the Scottish light. She resents the fact that while other Ghanaian women in their social circle, like Afi and Maria, have benefited from education, she was never allowed to finish school, spending her youth changing nappies and stirring pots. She desperately wants to pursue further education in Britain to bridge this gap, but finds herself humiliated by a system that finds her primary school certificates irrelevant. Tensions arise when Kodzo begins pushing for a family, while Abina insists on establishing stability and education first. She secretly applies for a sous chef job at the Dundonald Hotel, hoping to gain independence and meet people. During her interview with a manager named Rory, she makes a humiliating mistake, confusing pears for plums in a poached dessert recipe, and is not initially offered the role. Shortly thereafter, Abina realizes she is pregnant with Elam, feeling trapped by the finality of it. However, Rory calls back to offer her seasonal kitchen help, providing a small door of air in her locked room. Elam is born in February 1990. The birth is traumatic, as Abina's epidural fails, and she is left screaming in pain. The arrival of the baby shifts the family dynamic. Kodzo feels bonded to the boy but becomes an accessory to Abina's instinctive care. They argue over the traditional practice of circumcision, with Abina questioning why Kodzo wants to cut his son to make the boy look like him. Kodzo eventually wins this argument, but a later incident where Elam develops an ear infection while Abina is at work forces Kodzo to realize the heavy load his wife carries. He asks her to show him how to carry the baby in a traditional Ghanaian wrapper on his back, a gesture of shared responsibility that helps Abina breathe easier. Part 2. The Burden of Care and Growing Rebellion, 1998-2007. In February 1998, Abina receives news that her mother, Akasua, has died in Ghana from complications of alcoholism and a lack of medical care. The responsibility for the funeral falls on Abina, who must navigate the hell of organizing a funeral with a pack of hyenas, relatives who see the event as a party rather than a memorial. During her trip to Ghana, she spends time with her 13-year-old sister, Abla, who has been orphaned by their mother's death. Abina realizes that Abla is smart and ambitious but is being pressured by Aunt Esther to attend catering school rather than finishing secondary school. Remembering her own lack of choices, Abina uses her hard-earned salary to enroll Abla in a boarding school in Akamoda, hoping to give her sister the future she herself was denied. Back in Glasgow, by July 2002, Kodzo has become deeply involved in his Pentecostal church, seeking spiritual prosperity and abundance. He faces professional disappointment when he is passed over for a promotion in favor of younger, less experienced nurses. This sense of being behind leads him to place immense pressure on Elam, who is now a teenager at a local comprehensive school. Kodzo worries the school's atmosphere of fights and drugs is casting a shadow over his son. By May 2006, 16-year-old Elam has entered a period of teenage rebellion, secretly smoking hash and drinking buckfast with his friends Chris and Dell. During a house party, Elam gets wrecked on a bucket bong, resulting in a state of paranoid anxiety that is worsened when his sister Jifa sees him. He fumbles through a sexual encounter with a girl named Kelly, feeling stony nothingness instead of pleasure, a precursor to his later confusion regarding his sexuality. In March 2007, the tension between Elam and his parents reaches a breaking point. Abina discovers Elam is failing his classes, leading to an explosive argument where she accuses him of disregarding the opportunities they worked so hard to provide. Kodzo grounds him and insists he attend a Christian youth group and a summer retreat to fix his confusion. Elam's mental health deteriorates. Shortly before his final exams, he is found in his room standing over a broken mirror, his hand bleeding from where he punched it in a fit of nameless emotion. He requires stitches, and Abina feels a deep shame that she might have missed the signs of his suffering while she was busy with her career in a hotel kitchen. Despite the turmoil, Elam gets into university to study engineering in August 2007, though he is one grade short of the initial offer. Jifa excels, achieving top marks and preparing for her own path into medicine. Kodzo, though proud, still feels no relief, as his internal knot of anxiety continues to tighten. He suffers a panic attack while driving the family on the Kingston Bridge, nearly causing an accident. This incident, combined with professional burnout and the realization that the church provides no real help for his stress, leads him to seek medical help and begin taking antidepressants. Part 3. Exploration and Isolation in London, 2008-2015. In April 2008, Elam goes on a lad's holiday to Magaluf with Chris, Dell, and Nico. The trip is characterized by binge drinking and performative masculinity, but it is also the site of a pivotal moment for Elam's identity. After a day at the beach where Chris has to help Elam swim back to shore, the two boys share a bed in their hotel room. In the orange glow of the streetlights, they engage in a mutual, drunken sexual encounter. The experience leaves Elam feeling more content than ever before, but it is followed by a week of inscrutable silence from Chris, who eventually makes a joke about them snuggling up to him in front of the others. Elam feels quietly drowning in his group of friends, terrified and humiliated by the realization that he cannot access the confidence they display. By November 2010, Jifa studying medicine at Oxford, where she navigates the social dynamics of the elite university with a natural charisma. She is viewed by her friends, like Clem, as enigmatic, and unknowable, a thoroughbred who is social but elusive. This perception mirrors Jifa's own internal fear that she is shallow and possesses initial charisma but so little follow-through, failing to maintain deep connections with her old friends from Glasgow. In May 2013, Abina is working a bloated and off-yellow catering job at a care home, having given up her high-pressure restaurant career to spend more time at home for the children. Elamy's interning at an engineering firm but announces he has been accepted into a journalism master's in London, a move that surprises his parents but makes them proud. Abina, seeing her children have moved on, begins to wonder if it is time for her to have control over her own life for the first time. Elam moves to London in September 2013, finding a room in a shared flat in Willesden Green. London provides him with the autonomy and anonymity he craves. He begins exploring his sexuality more openly, moving from cruising the heath to meeting men online. He feels like a spring being pulled taut, discharged of energy only through the white-hot release of sex. In March 2015, Elam meets Ben at a housewarming dinner. Ben is everything Elam is not: posh, easygoing, charming, and self-assured. They begin a relationship, and Elam experiences intimacy, soft kisses, and shared beds for the first time. Ben pushes Elam to be honest and himself, encouraging him to come out to his parents. Part 4. Coming Out and the Breakdown of Silence, 2015-2016. Following Ben's urging, Elam comes out to Kodzo and Abina. During the Skype call in August 2015, he tells them he has a boyfriend named Ben and that he is gay. The reaction is one of shock and silence. Kodzo tells him they will figure it out, as if he has been told his car failed an MOT, and Abina's words of love clash with a stunned look in her eyes. They ask him not to tell Jifa, though Elam immediately ignores this and messages her. She responds with celebration and excitement. The aftermath of coming out is a period of conspicuous silence from his parents, who act as if nothing has happened. Elam feels invisible, despite having left the closet. This leads him to choose to spend Christmas with Ben's family in Surrey instead of going home to Glasgow. While Ben's family is welcoming, and the experience is freeing, Elam still feels a yearning for the kinky on Boxing Day with his own family. Back in Glasgow during the same December 2015, Abena suffers a severe medical emergency during the New Year's Eve party. She is hospitalized and has her gallbladder removed. The surgery and subsequent recovery give her a perspective shift. She realizes how boring and oppressive her care home job is. When her company undergoes restructuring, she is offered early retirement with a redundancy payout. She decides to use the money to pay off the family's mortgage, securing their patch to call home, while dreaming of a future that looks very different from her present one, involving warmth and sandy toes. By November 2016, Elam's relationship with Ben begins to buckle under the weight of unresolved tension and a lack of empathy. Elam finds Ben's constant need for quality time draining, while Ben feels Elam is withdrawn and only engaged when they're with friends. A specific incident in bed, where Ben tries to encourage Elam to bottom despite Elam's physical pain and discomfort, highlights a power imbalance. Ben asks Elam if he trusts him, but Elam can only wince and wait for the encounter to end. Elam later discovers that Ben's own coming out had been painless and supported by his bohemian parents, a fact Ben had omitted while urging Elam to risk everything with his own religious African parents. Elam realizes that Ben had built him the confidence to live a queer life but had also crushed him with his control. Elam feels deficient in love and withdraws completely. At Ben's suggestion, Elam moves out. Part 5. Return to Ghana and Professional Strain, 2017-2018. In February 2017, Abina and Kodzo visit Ghana for the first time in 30 years. The trip is a mix of rediscovery and alienation. They spend time with Abla, who now lives in a wealthy gated compound in Legon, and then travel to Ho to see Kodzo's extended family. However, when they reach Kodzo's childhood village, Wadevi, he finds it unsettling. The forest has been replaced by cinderblock buildings, and the river where he once played is silent, dominated by the buzz of generators. Kodzo realizes his old life is gone, and he cannot build a new one there. He is relieved to head back to Glasgow, realizing that is where his home truly is. In August 2017, Jaffay, a junior doctor dealing with the brutal realities of the NHS. She struggles with a difficult case involving an elderly woman named Flora Stiller. Jaffa tries to have a DNA CPR, do not attempt cardiopulmonary resuscitation, discussion with Flora's son, Harry, who refuses to accept the frailty of his mother. When Flora eventually crashes, Jaffa is forced to perform compressions, beating the life back into a corpse, for several rounds before a senior doctor calls the time of death. The experience leaves her exhausted and cynical about the delayed inevitable. During September 2017, Elam is struggling with deep loneliness following his breakup with Ben. He is playing for an inclusive rugby team to meet people, but feels electric, jolting, vibrating, and formless, rather than connected. He develops a crush on a token straight teammate named Guy, misreading Guy's friendliness as romantic interest. After being rejected by Guy, Elam returns to cruising on Hampstead Heath, engaging in a brief, painful encounter with a stranger that leaves him feeling tender and stingy. By May 2018, Elam's mental health is in a state of total collapse. Working as a journalist in London, reporting on tragedies like the Grenfell Tower fire, he feels his empathy has been dammed up behind concrete. He feels invisible in his office and increasingly isolated from his friends. He experiences passive suicidal ideation while standing on a tube platform, thinking about the distance between himself and the train. He ultimately asks his editor for permission to move back to Glasgow to work remotely, an overwhelming impulse to run Part 6, The Ochre Wall and the Final Swim, August-October 2018. In August 2018, Elam moves back into his childhood bedroom in Glasgow, while his parents are settled in their new bungalow. The house is filled with the brown tinge of sweat, sebum, and skin that has built up over decades, and Elam is repelled by the grime and dust in the corners. In an attempt to reclaim the space, he impulsively buys tubs of caramelized mountain ochre paint. He scrapes away the old wallpaper and spends a night painting a bright, wet wall, falling asleep smiling for the first time in months. He is contacted by Ange, a friend of Ben's who has moved to Glasgow. She takes him swimming at a Victorian pool. While swimming, Elam encounters Chris, his old friend, abuser from the Magaluf trip, which triggers an intense fear and makes him feel like his lungs have stopped working. He begins ghosting Ange to avoid seeing Chris again. By October 2018, Elam is driving back from the Highlands when he sees a sea lock during a storm. He feels a sudden, bold urge to step into the water. He wades into the waves, feeling the ache in his joints and the pulse of cold, which surprisingly makes him feel rooted and calm. He laughs into the wind, feeling totally thrilling. He becomes obsessed with wild swimming, viewing it as a mixture of extreme sport and meditation that cools his mind and stops his constant ruminations. When his journalism contract is not extended, Elam feels only relief. He decides to go to the islands of Mull and Iona for a final period of solitude. On Iona, the water is perfectly clear, like molten glass or tears. He spends 2 weeks swimming further and further each day, learning to sit with the pain and focus on his breath. On his final morning on Iona, Elam enters the icy water and begins to swim west, towards the expanse. As his breath becomes harsher and less rhythmic, he reflects on his life. He realizes that between his parents in Glasgow and their roots in Ghana, a language had been lost, and they were never able to understand each other's ways of loving. He acknowledges that Ben crushed him but also gave him the confidence to be queer, and that Chris showed him both kindness and cruelty. He concludes that love was a tightrope between freedom and control that he could never make sense of. Feeling that he has always given control to someone else, Elam decides he is ready to take it back. He rests his head in the water, blocking out the sounds of the world, and smiles in the almost total silence. He lifts his legs toward the surface, breathes in deep, slow breaths, and floats for the final time, implying his death by drowning. Conclusion: The 2019 Aftermath. The book circled back to the March 2019 cleaning of the house. Abina and Kodzo are finished packing. The ochre wall Elam painted is one of the final things they see. In their retirement, they are parting ways geographically and emotionally. Abina is heading to Ghana to find a place where she can live and speak her language, while Kodzo is staying in Scotland because he cannot leave Elim's grave, which he calls their root in this soil. The summary of the book ends with Abina boarding her flight, leaving Kodzo behind to mourn our son in the place where he died. This summary is for educational purposes only.